On the live line with us is Supervisor Linda Hopkins. Linda, good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat.
I trust you are feeling better than you were last week.
I am, and I heard that Supervisor Gorin did a great job and enjoyed speaking with you that morning and said, yeah, I had a fever, so I managed to make it to the board meeting, but then I crashed.
Wow, yeah, so. It's understandable. The crud is certainly going around, and some people would say that the crud kind of applies to the budget shortfall in Sonoma County. It must not be a surprise to anyone that we are not in the black right now, considering all the money that's had to go out over the last couple of months.
Yeah, and it certainly, you know, feels like a disease. So we're looking at the county, a $10.7 million decrease in our revenues, from property taxes and the like. And then we're actually looking at a $10 million so far, so $10 million and counting, increase in disaster-related expenditures, which means that we sort of started with a pre-disaster surplus. We had about a $6.6 million surplus, which is
always a nice
thing.
Yeah, that felt pretty good right then, didn't it?
Felt great for that moment, and then, you know, now we are looking at a $20.7 million deficit, which is, really significant. So, you know, we're going to have to make some tough decisions. We're going to be looking at our reserves, certainly. But one of the scary things to us is that it doesn't end now. The costs are going to continue, and there are so many unknowns. So, for instance, just a local match for debris removal that's required, you know, FEMA requires a local match, that could range anywhere from $18.7 million to $46.8 million.
So you mean that whatever money the feds put into the cleanup process, the county has to match?
Correct.
Wow.
That is correct. And we're not clear right now whether that's going to be a 10% match or a 25% match, and, you know, sort of whether or not the state will be assisting us. It's that the local match is going to be really, really crucial for our budgeting going forward, because the costs, as you know, are just enormous, astronomical costs for debris removal.
Enormous, and as are many other aspects of the recovery, unknown, as you say, because it is, number one, it's ongoing, and number two, there are too many things that we don't know about it yet.
Yeah. One of the things, I mean, we keep using this metaphor, and I feel like it's getting a little bit tired, but, you know, building the plane while flying it, right?
Yeah.
And that's really the case. And these are things that we have to do for our constituents, for our community. We don't have a choice, and yet we don't know what the cost of building that plane is going to be, quite frankly, until the plane is built and until we hear back from the state and federal government about what the actual local match requirement will be.
You know, I know when we get into a hole individually in our own private lives and we realize that more is going out than is coming in, it can be a little bit on the depressing side. I wonder if our political leaders, including you, are feeling a little bit of that too.
You know, what bothers me most is the uncertainty, right, of not knowing when you're going to be out of that hole, and also of not really, we don't really know what the impacts are going to be, for instance, on TOT or the transient occupancy tax, what the impacts are going to be on sales taxes. There are so many unknowns, especially when it comes to our longer-term economic recovery, that it feels like there's not enough information to really solidly base your budget on at this point. And I think for those of us who feel like we need to be, you know, fiscally responsible as local government, which I think that everyone on the Board of Supervisors does, that uncertainty is really hard. It's really hard to feel like you're flying blind, and yet there's such a tremendous need in the community right now.
Well, it's hard to feel and it's hard to plan for when you don't know exactly what it's going to be. And at what point, Linda, will there be, do you feel, accurate information coming in, let's say, about the local economy, about sales tax, for example?
To be perfectly honest, I don't think that we'll really know until we, you know, sort of close our books in terms of, you know, opening a new fiscal year and looking at what, you know, what the hotel stays were, what the, you know, sort of real, you know, you hear that sort of the real estate market, it's slow, there's not a lot of turnover, but obviously prices are going up. To what extent will that sort of price increase in the real estate market offset some of the losses?
Yeah.
There's too much uncertainty right now. And, you know, one of the really scary things is that this budget, these budget impacts will actually affect every single taxing entity in Sonoma County. It will affect school districts. It will affect fire districts.
Yeah.
It will affect the incorporated cities and towns that were not impacted by the fire, because state law says that actually this impact is going to be distributed over the entire county. And that's something we don't control. But that means that, you know, fire districts in West County who didn't, didn't actually lose structures or, you know, have property losses will still be getting hits to their budget. So everybody's going to feel this, which is pretty scary.
Yeah, there's a tightening of the belt and then there's this. So it seems like two different things. And let's talk about Roseland for a minute, if we can. Supervisor Hopkins, because, you know, there's going to be a big party next month celebrating the annexation of Roseland. And now the homeless encampment is another issue that we have to deal with and try to deal with in, you know, the most humanitarian way possible.
Yeah, and we've estimated that we may have as many as 100 people now camped out behind the dollar store. And we're really looking at how do we create some kind of a safe and responsible and humanitarian approach to finding these people another place to be. Because unfortunately, we actually were looking at redeveloping that property, and we really want to start some of the testing that needs to happen in terms of, you know, sort of brownfield type testing, that looking for contaminants and things like that to get construction going on that site. So we need to find somewhere else for people to go. But in my opinion, we can't just shut down the encampment without having an alternative. So the county and the city right now are exploring sort of transitional village locations where we could look at transferring the encampment somewhere, offering people a safe place to be, and then providing them with wraparound supportive services to get them into housing as quickly as we can.
Yes, we just got off the phone with... We just got off the phone with Jenny Lynn Holmes about this very issue, and I know the efforts are ongoing and very strong in terms of trying to make some other options available for folks who are in that terrible, terrible situation, especially at this time of the year with this weather, et cetera, all big considerations.
Oh, it's been so cold. And one of the challenges is that a lot of the folks who are living right now in the encampment behind the dollar store, they're not actually the kind of people who would be okay in shelters. A lot of them have pets. There are a lot of single females who have dogs for protection purposes. There are also some folks who have PTSD who aren't comfortable being in a big room with lots of people at the same time. So we're trying to find alternatives. And I just want to say Jenny Lynn is amazing. Catholic Charities has done such fantastic work in this community. But when we're talking about budget, we need to invest more, you know, more funding to help address these problems. And yet, as you just heard, you know, we're facing this catastrophic budgetary situation in local government right now.
Well, I would be remiss, Linda, if I did not refer, because we haven't chatted since then, about your article, your Me Too article in the Press Democrat. I thought it was brave and unflinching.
Thank you. You know, I think it's something that's really important to acknowledge. And, you know, I had women come up to me and just hug me after that article, strangers, which was a really neat experience. And a lot of people who said, you know, I thought this was just a problem with my generation. It's really scary that this is continuing down the generations, and this needs to stop now. And I want to say that, you know, on that note, looking at what happened in Alabama last night really gives me so much hope that we are turning the corner and we're starting to recognize that that kind of behavior is not going to be tolerated, and that we can't just vote party lines when, you know, you have very serious accusations against someone like that.
Yeah, I think you're right. A lot of us were surprised by the outcome last night, and it was about as close as it can get. But surprised that a Democrat won the Senate seat in Alabama, and that maybe that is a referendum on this whole issue. Well, one thing can certainly not be said about the Me Too movement, that it's not getting enough attention, because it's been top of mind now for a couple of months, even as we continue to hear about those among us, famous and not famous, who seem to be guilty of those kinds of indiscretions and worse. So I don't know when that story is going to end, that fallout is going to end, but it seems like the strength of allowing women a space and a place to safely say what's going on is a win.
Yeah, and you know, Merriam-Webster just announced yesterday that their word of the year is feminism.
Yeah.
And so I really hope that that's, you know, this is the start of a movement. We're going to get more women in office. We're going to have women who are not afraid, you know, to speak up and speak out if they see sexism, if they see sexual misconduct. I hope that this is really a sea change moment for our society, and I hope that it will launch a much more aware and female-friendly workplace environment going forward.
Well, it should be interesting because, as you know, in most things they say, it starts at the top. So we'll see if that is indeed the case.
And it's going to take everybody.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Supervisor Hopkins, I probably won't get a chance to talk to you in between now and then, so happy holidays to you and yours.
Happy holidays. I hope you get some time off because you guys work too hard on this radio station. You're always on.
I'm looking for the first week of the new year. We'll let you know.
There you go.
All right. Happy holidays to you. That is Supervisor Linda Hopkins talking about a number of subjects very pertinent to our county and our country as well.